Blog Talk Radio.
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about, let me give you guys the phone number. Here it is. Promo.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, 347-637-3942. Feel free to call in, 347-637-3942. Well, everybody knows what's going on. You know, we have a lot of issues today, and our country seems to be falling apart. You know, and I talked about that last night in my other program. And the basis behind these things, we're losing our old guard, and we're losing our knowledge and our pretty much a constitution as we know it. And I think one of the biggest problems is what the problems come from, you know, lower, like grade school, middle school, high school. It's very critical because I don't think they even teach Constitution there anymore. And our next guest will tell us a little bit more about that. And things seem to be going and being grabbed hold of by liberal media with the teachers and all kinds of things, pornography in the schools. So many bad things are happening right now. We don't even know about. They're even giving their kids, without your permission, vaccines and putting them on other things without your consent. And the school boards seem like they own your kids, and they don't. And it's up to the parents to take over. And I'm glad my next guest has the courage to even run for office, just that taking that leap from talking about it to actually put it into action. So I'm going to introduce everybody to my guests tonight, and they are Christine Gavigli and Denise Nystrom. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Christy, and my last name is a tough one. It is, I tell people all the time that the easiest way to say it is think of diva and then jelly and put it together. So it's Christy Diva Jelly. And I am running for a Lee County School Board in District 1. So that is Cape Coral, Captiva, Sanibel Island, Pine Island, that Yusepa, Bokelia, St. James, so all that little island area. A large portion of Cape Coral.
Yes, and hi, Kevin. This is Denise Nystrom, and I am also running for school board in Lee County, but I am running for District 6, which they consider an at-large position, and that means that everybody in Lee County votes.
Fantastic. Now, so you're coming from Ohio. Those are like paradises to us, okay? Everything down in Florida is a paradise. So I'm sure it's very nice. If it's anything like when we were in Naples, then, you know, I'm down for it. I like palm trees and all that stuff. But to be serious, tell us why you're running, both of you. You can go first, Christy. I'm sorry. No,
sure,
let's Christy, you can do that.
Great, thank you. So I am running because, well, first of all, I'm a Florida native. I'm a deeply rooted one at that, and I grew up in Lee County. I care very much for this place. I went to school here all the way, you know, from kindergarten all the way through. Well, I graduated early, and I chose to get my GED because, you know, we have an individualized learning a learning system within our public education. So it didn't really fit me. So I went, got out of there early, and when I had kids, I was involved. From the time that they were, you know, old enough to go to school, I was involved. I was that mom cutting out crafts in the classroom or helping kids read on the PTA. I did what I could do, or I could do it. And I always, I'm always been on the side of the teacher. You know, I spent the better part of the last day as a children's ministry director. So that is a fancy term for a children's pastor without a title. So I ran elementary children's ministry programs at a fairly large church for, but like I said, the better part of the last decade. And so I had always been on the side of teachers, you know. When my kids would come home with stories, honestly, I would always question my children, and I would say, well, you know, are we sure for both sides of the story? And, you know, I would always err on the side of the teachers. Well, that was up until the 2020 when the world went crazy and everyone was sent home. And when that happened, I had the opportunity to attend school virtually with my children at home. We did not close down, not ever, not once throughout this, but our kids had options. You know, we had options. We could send our kids to school virtually. We could send them in person. I chose at that time, because they were mandating masks, I chose to keep my kids at home. What that meant for us is we participated in Home Connect was, in essence, pretty much a Zoom camera in a classroom with live students and a teacher, and was expected to teach both the live students and on the computer, the Zoom kids. And I thank God for that experience every day, because if I had ever had that experience, I probably would not have gotten into advocacy like I did. Because it took for me one semester of attending 8th grade civics class to pull my child out of school. And I did that because I knew the political situation of her teacher. See, in one of the classes she had, this was right around election season, asked the class to vote the next president. And my daughter looked at me and she said, Mom, I am, she goes, I don't want to do this. She said, I don't know who to vote for. I don't know anything about these people. I don't want to vote. I said, okay, well, just tell your teacher that you don't have enough information to make an informed decision and that you would like to sit this one out. So she did that, and she told him, and his response was, well, if you don't do this, then you're going to have to take a zero for this class. So I told her, I said, well, again, and I said, well, okay, I guess we'll just answer. You know, what are you going to do? You going to take a zero for the class? No, just answer, okay? So she answered, and the rest of the class answered. Another child also questioned him on doing that, did not want to vote. But afterwards, the votes came in, the election results were in, and guess who won? Good old Joe. Well, exactly. So that other student in the class that had also not wanted to vote asked the teacher, excuse me, who did you vote for? And the teacher's response was, oh, well, that's my – I don't have to tell you guys that. That's my private information. That's my right to privacy. And that, you know, getting to hear that for myself, listening to that for myself – now, I already had issues with this teacher – but that having that experience was the final straw for me. And that's when I pulled my I didn't know what to do. You see, I wasn't an advocate at that point like I am right now. I was in a different way, just not like I am now. So I didn't know what to do. So I pulled her. And then we spent the next year. My other daughter was still in the public school setting, though. And I like to tell everyone about my first week of school with her as well, because my first week of school with my ninth grader, now you see she's a little different. She participates in the ACE Cambridge program, which is an advanced studies program where they take college level courses at a high school level. So the first week of school, my daughter, again, sitting at my home, doing class with us at school, at home, she wrote an essay about depopulation and population control, AI technology and the benefits of it in a medical setting. But the kicker, the one that really got me was she wrote an essay on adrenochrome. Now, if you don't know what that is, Google it, and that's where we're going to leave that. But my what bothered me was why was my daughter writing essays on such controversial issues? And it was because they would start every day by watching CNN, and they would write on the world news. So at that point, I knew to get involved. I had to get involved. So I started doing some digging, and I started and I found myself at a school board meeting. I was there about masks, though, because we were still mandating them at this point. And I sat through this meeting, and it changed my life because there were hundreds of parents there. And, I mean, the place was packed. And I had to sit in my own separate room with a room full of parents in the unmasked room because you could only go into the boardroom if you had a mask on. And so we're sitting in this other room, and we're watching all of these parents get heated and go up to this public comment, go up to the stand and make their public comment. And they were so upset at the school district over a poster that was found to be inside of the school. And it was a gender best practices poster. And on this poster, it had it had the best practices of how a child or a teacher or an administrator should respond to another child, student, administrator, whomever, you know, in regards to their general or gender identity preference. And parents were not allowed in school at this point. So when a dad went to the school and happened to see this poster, he took a picture of it and he shared it. It went viral. And that's why all these parents were in this meeting. But that wasn't what changed my life about that meeting. What changed my life is after public comment. So public comment was had. All these parents got up there. They were fired up. They said what they had to say. The board pretty much treated it as if it were nothing. They responded to only a few very delicate issues that were brought up. And then business as usual. You watched parent after parent after parent just get up and leave. They got up and they left the meeting, and then there were no more parents in the room. And after that, the board then began to conduct business. And I stayed. I was in the unmasked room with this other family, and we stayed, and I watched that whole meeting go on for another 2.5, almost 3 hours. And while no one was there, by themselves, they made multi-millions. They signed off deals for selling off real estate for millions of dollars. They gave approval for contracts with vendors at hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, there were so many things that if parents would have just stayed, it would have changed every parent's life in that room that day. But it changed mine, and I said, they will never not know who I am ever again. And I started getting involved. You know, I started a nonprofit called Power to, I blocked a nonprofit that originated in Las Vegas, Nevada. We chaptered out, brought a chapter of them here to the state of Florida, and started getting involved as parents. And I'm going to let you talk to Denise for a little bit, and so she can explain kind of who she is, because then our stories meld, and it's better if we kind of tell it together. So I want her to tell you a little bit about how she got involved, too. Sound good, Kevin? Okay.
That sounds great.
So I am a mom of three. I actually have 8 grandchildren. I was a special education teacher. I was also a special education administrator, meaning that I ran a special education department. So I have advocated for children all my life, both my own children, my grandchildren, and everybody else's children. I went on in the school system to become an assistant superintendent, and that means that I ran school districts for a living with the superintendent, and I worked for boards of education. And I'm very, very grateful to say that the people that I worked with and for were very transparent, very ethical, and everybody was held accountable the way that it should be. So, you know, I knew quite a while ago that things were changing based on the things that my grandchildren were telling me were going on in school. For example, when my granddaughter was 11 years old and she told me that the teachers were telling them that they should know whether they were LGBTQ. And later when she ended up in the 1619 Project. But I suppose to a certain extent, a lot of people, including me, didn't really understand just how bad it was. Like Chrissy is explaining, our eyes opened during the pandemic. And what happened is after January 6th, and this is my opinion, after the election was stolen, I said to myself, I can either do something about this, save my country, or I can do nothing about it. And so at that point in time, I started a website, and I started a newsletter, and I started showing up at all kinds of functions where and events where you would find families, and I started signing them up for my newsletter, and I told them that I would keep them informed about things that were going on in the school districts, and also things, laws that were being passed and things that were going on in the state of Florida and sometimes nationally. And I started sending out this newsletter every single week. Fast forward, I started going to the school board meetings, and that's where I met Chrissy. And, I mean, we just immediately melded together because we could see that things were not okay and that action needed to be taken. And from that point on, we've gone to every single school board meeting. And these school board meetings can last 9 to 12 hours a day. And we are there. And then, because we were going so much, we got to know the personalities of the board members. We could tell which of the board members were ethical and which of them were really there for the wrong reasons. And we could tell when they were not making decisions that were student-centered. And we realized that we tried from the podium during public comment to talk to them about this. We were under the assumption that they wanted to listen to the public. And with emails, we've sent them numerous, like countless emails. I mean, we learned over time that there are certain board members that, you know, we can talk to and that are willing to listen and work together. But the majority does not care what we have to say. And so, I mean, we even did things like start letter writing campaigns because we thought if we got more and more people involved, which was still a good idea to get more and more people involved, we thought that that would make a difference. And in the end, unfortunately, it all fell on deaf ears. And so we just started with this group that we formed. We just started taking more action. We can tell you about some of that.
Incredible. How I see this is the pandemic. There's one good thing about it. It shows you how the sausage is made in the schools. You didn't have the opportunity to see before, and this is happening all over the country. This is why there's so many uprisings now, because they see what the kids are being taught. I think it's wonderful. It's the only good byproduct of this pandemic.
That has been the silver lining, I will say, and we're hearing more and more about parents that are interested in school board and are taking action throughout the country. So I hope what Chrissy and I are doing in Lee County, parents across the nation are doing. Yes.
And I'm going to call parents to action at this point because, you know, it's not enough that we get up off the couch upset. We have to actually do something about it. And we have to remember where the problem is really coming from. You know, we should not be blaming teachers, okay? I know there are bad teachers out there, but there are so many more good. And we have to remember where this is coming from. This is coming from districts, from a district level, and from a union level.
And from the government.
Yes, the government pushing their agenda.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know if you guys know this. I graduated in 2017 from college. I did everything backwards, like I said. And you'd be surprised. In those fields for teachers and everything, they have so much social justice and everything. They write papers and stats classes about social justice, right? That's what they had us do. So we're dealing with a lot of these young teachers believing things that the college teaches them, and it's a horrible place to be right now to go to class in college. I hated it because it was so extra against what I believe. But I'm thinking that this is infecting our teachers today, and maybe for the last 10 or 15 years, the professors are on it all the time. You can't disagree with them. I mean, that's their agenda. Change the way people think, the kids.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, can remember when I was a teacher and, you know, we didn't bring our politics into the classroom. I never talked to my students about my political beliefs. And now there's this global agenda, nationwide agenda, to change the way that kids are thinking about our country, about our world. And, you know, Christy and I, we're very much, no, we love America. We love our country. We think that this is the best nation. We want our kids to feel the same way. We do not want this propaganda being brought into the schools, you know, on a K-12 level, but also on a college level, like you said.
Yeah, it started in the colleges, really. You know, we're only now noticing the trickle-down effect that we're finally seeing in the, at the grade level, because at the grade school level, because this has been going on in our colleges a lot longer. You know, some of the first meetings that Denise and I attended, you should have seen the caliber of some of the young, brand new, right out of college teachers that were telling us from the podium, hey, guess what? I'm getting ready to go teach your kids next. And we created that. We didn't create it. I shouldn't say that. We allowed it to happen because we were busy doing other things because there was life that was going on. We had a nice boosted economy. You know, it wasn't uncomfortable like it is now. And the pandemic, you know, for what it's worth, it really did. It like any tragedy, it did bring people together. I think it's bringing parents together every single day. You know, I know that even personally, I know more parents now than I ever thought that I would in ministry. It's such a blessing to be able to talk to another parent that knows what you're going through. Out there, I encourage you, even if you're in one of those states where it is super scary to be an American, or it's super scary to be a Republican if you are one, or a conservative, you know, I encourage you to find other parents like you, because they're out there. Band together, you know, work with each other, because you can make an affect change in your own community.
Now, one of the things that we're fortunate about here in Florida is that we have Governor Ron DeSantis here. Now, not that we should need protection from our Constitution, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. But, you know, Governor DeSantis has signed into law many things that almost seem redundant in terms of parents' rights and what should be taught in civics classes and how people are entitled to medical freedom. Now, it just seems redundant considering all of that is in the Constitution that we should even have to be passing laws like this. But at least we are in Florida. At least we do have a governor that is on top of these things and is passing these laws.
But that brings up she brought up a very good point, because that opens up gives an opportunity to parents to get in touch with their legislators. Like, if your state doesn't have a parents' bill of rights by now, you guys need to be petitioning your legislators to get on that. Every state should have a parental bill of rights that safeguards the parents, so we don't end up in situations like California and New York are in right now.
So I know you're not asking questions, and I guess it's because Christy and I have been doing this for so long that it's all right there for us.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. You know, we love Ron DeSantis. He's everybody's hero, not just Florida. So
yeah, well, that's true. That's a very good point.
So we need that in Ohio. We have Governor DeWine.
Yes. So talking about the Parents' Bill of Rights for a minute, so the Parents' Bill of Rights basically says that it is the job of the family to teach morality, not the school.
Well, yes.
Basically the schools are not to teach morality. But the bottom line is that very often some of the people that work there ignore this law. Even though it is a law, even though it is board policy, they just choose to ignore it. And so Christy and I, you know, because of our background, our managerial background, hers in ministry with educational programs, mine in school districts, and because of the amount of time that we have spent at board meetings, we understand the dynamics of this school district, and we understand how to play the politics in this school district. But we have done as much as we can possibly do as members of the public who are speaking at the podium and taking action from the outside. We realized that in order to really affect change, we were going to need to run for the board, where we would have control over board policy, where we would have control over directing the superintendent to implement certain things in the school district to make sure that these laws are followed. I know Christy started to talk, kind of started to talk about that a little bit earlier.
Yes, I did. And I know, and Denise is exactly right. You know, we, as there are a lot of different candidates that are running in our county. And, you know, anybody is, it's not that anybody is any, I'm sorry. We just had a technical difficulty there. But going back to what Denise was saying about why we decided, you know, this is something that every parent, you know, I'm sure there's parents out there that are thinking, you know, I've been watching these school board members, and I've been watching these school board meetings. I've been paying for the meetings that they're doing, and I emailed them 100 million times, put phone calls into them, and they never call me back. So what am I supposed to do? Am I just going to pull my kids? Hey, I'm in a home for kids. Oh, that's fine. Then I don't need to worry about it anymore. No. We all pay taxes, and our taxes go to the public education system. So there are federal laws that protect that protect a child's right to fair and equal education that is across the board. So whether you pull your kids out or not, that's not going to solve the problem. You've got to get involved. Even if all you do is continue to email them every single day. These biggest ones in their side until we do the right thing or take action. And no public records requests on them. Find a way to get them out of the news. Give us a call. People would be happy to help you out, to like, give you some pointers if you ever want it. And I would be foolish if I did not plug them right now. So if anybody is out there who would like to know more about our platform and talk to us, you know, I can be reached at Christy, that's C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, number 4, Lee School, so that's L-E-E-S-H.
Say it again.
Oh, yes. Okay. That is christy4leeschool@gmail.com is my email, and the website is www.christy4leeschool.com. And I'm going to give you Denise's as well, and this is electdeniseneistrom.com, and that is electdeniseneistrom.com.
Elect@gmail.com. So, you know, we have been involved in taking action, so I'll give you one idea of what we did. We took Governor DeSantis' laws that he signed, the Parents' Rights Bill, the Equity in Sports Act, says that boys may not participate in girls' sports teams. A law that says you cannot ask a child to be vaccinated in order for them to attend school. And he also signed into law what needed to be taught in civics, and that critical race theory was not acceptable to teach. So because the school district was not notifying parents about these laws, we asked him a letter, and that letter was an opt-out to parents, and we had summaries of all the laws. And we went to parks and pools and malls and talked to every parent that we possibly could. We gave them the letter. We gave them our contact information so that they could submit to the superintendent of school and it would officially opt their kids out of those things. These kind of things don't make the school district very happy. We actually sent them to the letter. It put them on the spot because now we're getting a letter to them certified, return receipt, and notarized, and it gave the parents something in writing to show that they had taken action to try to prevent the school district from doing what it's been doing.
And I'll share really quickly one of the things that I did. There was a point in the state of Florida where there was a court of what was the governor's been happening with the governor? The governor in the
Okay. What happened was, even though Ron DeSantis said that masks were not mandatory, it went to a court to decide
it. It was appealed by, it got appealed by several families that were very opposed to mandatory masks. Told us that Lee County, they decided that they were going to go back on the mandatory masks, and they made them mandatory. Now, my question was 2 weeks into the first week of the school year. So the first 2 weeks of school, kids were able to go, this time, no mask, the mask off, and every time, well, 2 weeks in, they now make the mask. My daughter, I had a conversation with my oldest, she was a sophomore at her high school. I said, listen, this is what you don't want to wear a mask on. You don't have to wear a mask. It is your right whether or not you are going to put that on your face. And I, as your mother, I will back you up no matter what, or no matter what you want to do. So that first day, I brought her to school. I waited in the parking lot. I made sure she had her phone on her. And I told her, what happens? You are polite. You don't. It's yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Are very don't take any action against you. If they want you to put a mask on, you just say no mask. Thank you. I'm sorry, I don't wear those. Call my mother if you have an issue. If they say no, well, okay, call my mother. And very clear. Well, as I expected, I dropped her off in the parking lot. Then to call. Sure enough, I got a phone call within the first 10-15 minutes of school, and they. Principal brought her out. I told them, listen, what's going on here? Are you denying her access to public education? And they gave me the runaround to how, we have to, it's school policy. They have to put on the mask, and if they don't wear the mask, then they have to go home. They didn't have any policy for the if kids were not going to, if they weren't going to comply, because it couldn't implement law. Oh, and the sheriff knew that, and they weren't getting involved. They sent out whoever they could from staff to be citizens. Well, I already knew that was going to happen, so I know that at the end of the day, the supreme law of the land is our Constitution. And if we didn't have a Constitution, I have rights. My kids have rights that they were inherent. They were given to me from the moment I took my first breath, I have rights.
God's
given rights.
Right.
And they are not to be violated. So I put the board on notice. I put the superintendent on notice. And I told him in that next board meeting, because at that time, my daughter had now spent, I think, 4 days of at home, and at this point, they were going to send her. So I went to the superintendent, was officially on notice, and that if my daughter was suspended, that I was going to personally hold her accountable, and I was going to personally, in his personal capacity, before I started this thing. And I did that. And it did not end up having to go through, because he was out of compliance with that time, he had to accept that. The governor, that whole court case got over, that the appeal went away, and now they had to make them optional again. But those are ways that you that right now can start fighting for their kids. If you have a district that is totalitarian and you are not going to get in, that you're not going to get anywhere with them, well, guess what? Your kids, you still have money. Your kids still have money. When those rights are violated, you are welcome to your rights. Personally, go after each one of them in their personal capacity.
Well, another thing, Kevin, is there are in the county several people that are running for the same position for school board. And I urge every person out there, and it doesn't matter whether you have children in the district or not, even if you're a taxpayer, if you're concerned about what's going on, everybody needs to research everybody that is running the school board. Because, unfortunately, it doesn't seem that the media does their due diligence with regard to school board candidates. Their school board candidate, the understanding the credentials of their school board candidate. You know, we are living in a very critical time, and it is absolutely essential that parents know the credentials of their school board candidate, because if people get on the school board and they really lack the skill set to navigate, and Lee County is a $1.9 billion budget, if they don't know how to navigate politically on the school board, if they need a learning curve and it's going to take them a couple of years to understand how to do it, that's many. 1 year, 2 years.
We don't have that much time left.
Yeah.
We will lose another generation of children who does not afford that.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I hear a little bit of feedback there. Can you guys?
Oh, there we go. Sorry, a little technical issue. Yeah,
okay.
We're good now.
That sounds great. So here's the thing, and I want to ask you guys, what do you think about how in the world are teachers not teaching, you know, academics anymore, and they're teaching all this other stuff? And I've seen it myself, like I said. So we need to have parents in those classes. Concerned parents. That's what I think.
Yeah.
How else are you going to control that? What do you guys think?
So that's kind of a delicate issue, because yes, you're exactly right. We do need to have teachers in classrooms, but at the same time, like, believe me when I tell you, I talk to parents and I talk to a lot of teachers all the time, and this is not every teacher teaching things that they're not supposed to be teaching.
Okay.
This is a very select few teachers doing the wrong thing, and it is that, please believe that. So parents really have to approach this in a way that is constructive. If we come at these teachers like they're the enemy, we're never going to be able to build bridges. And that's the only way that our public education system will survive, is if the parents and the teachers and the students all come together as one, as working together as one team. How can we as parents expect to drop our children off to someone that is a complete stranger to us? We're co-parenting with this person at that point. In whatever way you want to look at it, it's the reality. So do we want to have a positive co-parenting relationship with that human being, or do we want to have a negative one? Because this person influences our children's lives regardless of what we think.
You know, I think that teachers, for the most part, are probably as frustrated as we are, because it wasn't them that made the decision to lock down the schools and not let parents in. And I think that that as a result of that happening, they no longer have that personal connection with parents. And I think they want that personal connection. And I don't think they want to be viewed as somebody that's doing something that's detrimental to children. They need to open these schools again and let these parents back in and establish relationships again. And that is not a decision that a teacher makes. It's a decision that administration makes, or that the Board of Education makes.
But they only make that decision when they are given that direction. And right now, the school boards are the school boards around the country right now, unfortunately, are not giving that direction. They are telling superintendents and district administrators that parents are the enemy. That's how they're treating us, and that's the perception that teachers and faculty at the administration level at the schools have of parents.
Right.
And that's very unfortunate, because if the school board and the district administration was painting parents in a positive light, we would not be in this situation that we're in right now. Teachers would not have shortages in their classrooms, because they would have the appropriate help from parents. I mean, they're not even letting high schoolers into these classrooms to help these teachers. They're coming up with backwards ways of just spending more money and go entering into agreements with colleges so that we can take intern kids that are not done with college. I mean, we don't college kids should not be coming into our classrooms and taking and working in that capacity when parents have the ability to as well.
Well, let's just say this. It would be nice if they listened to the teachers and the teachers were able to express what it is that they needed to make them successful, and they focused on that.
I totally agree, because if you see some of these things on YouTube with these parent-teacher meetings, teachers are in the audience too. They're complaining to the board. It's almost like the board is like somebody running for Congress, and you know they're power hungry. They go way too far, and they have and it's some kind of position for them instead of serving the children and the parent.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, if you look at some of these board members have been sitting on them for over a decade. How can there be positive change in these school districts if you don't even have parents sitting on the boards?
So, you made me think of something, though, Kevin. So in response to this, our state legislators want to make the superintendent an elected position. That would be partisan. They want to make the board members an elected position that would be partisan. They want to put term limits on board members. You know, when you have a healthy paradigm, which I did, the board members that I worked with, many of them were on the board for long periods of time. But they had integrity, and they were there for the children. And that provided a great deal of history to all newcomers, whether you were an administrative newcomer, whether you were a newcomer to the board. It was really actually very effective. It's about changing the people that are sitting on the board, not about implementing more legislation that is probably going to have unintended consequences in the long run.
Makes a lot of sense. Sure does. So yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, people are like that. You know, that's what they see. This is their goal: power trips and control. And they think your kids are their kids instead of the parents. And that, I think people get lost. And so it's just like Congress and the Senate, they get lost where they are. They lost the focus of what they're there for. And then the kids get caught up in that wash, unfortunately.
Right. And, you know, the good thing about having somebody like you that's very interested in speaking to people that are going to be running for school board is that you're helping to get the word out. You know, this goes a long way toward informing people about, you know, things that need to be different. I appreciate that. We both do.
Oh, you're welcome. It's you know how I am. I'm 100% American, Constitution, and this is one of my issues. And like I said, I used to sit down and watch these parent-teacher meetings, and I love the parents and the mama bears and people, like, fighting back. And what they're saying is right. They're right about it.
Yeah.
It's not your children.
Yeah.
It's their kids.
Yeah.
They're concerned about it. This is what's bringing it up. This pandemic has just, you know, grown this movement so much. I think it's awesome. That's what we should be. And that's what taking your country back, it's taking school district back, and it's taking your Congress, whatever you do. I've interviewed some congressional candidates and former governor, and it's just amazing how it's such a hard battle at that level. But you guys can do it at your level, you know, at the school district level, because it's money and there's bribes. And I'm sure. I'm sure the school.
It's going to take work. We did not get here overnight, and we are not going to get out of this overnight. And that's why we need to get in there as soon as possible and start to work on this, because it's going to take time.
I know you guys are, you believe what you say and what you do, and you're not going to put up with anything. You guys are going to be like, here's animals there, which is good. You got to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we would love to have you have us back again at some point as we get down the road in our campaign. Maybe we can come back on the show and talk to you some more.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to have you guys back on, and I appreciate you guys being here. And I appreciate what you guys
are
doing, and I support you guys 100%. And as you've seen, I've had some of your things on my page I'm passing through. And if you have anything to say, how do we, if you repeat, how you guys can be contacted or reached?
Absolutely. And yes, thank you again so much for having us. This was such an experience, and I'm really excited that at the thought of parents from all over the country having an opportunity to hear this. So my name is Christy Divadilly. I'm running in Lee County, Florida in District 1, and my website is www.christyforleeschools.com. Email is christyforleeschools@gmail.com, and that is a number 4 in there.
So it's C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, number 4, Lee Schools, OOLS.com. And Denise Nystrom is electdenisenystrom@gmail.com. So that's E-L-E-C-T, Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, Nystrom, N-Y-S-T-R-O-M @gmail.com. Feel free to reach out, folks.
Yeah, and we are running against the machine. So if anyone wants to contribute to either one of our campaigns, even $5 would go a long way. So thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. And I will include all this information on here, promos and everything. So I appreciate you guys coming. Thanks a lot. You guys are busy. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Denise Nystrom and Christy Divadilly. They are running for school board down in Lee County, Florida. And as you heard, they mean business. They're all in. That's the kind of leadership we need. And that includes everything, every level of this country. Trying to take things back and make things right. That's what you do. So I appreciated them coming on and plan this for about 2 weeks or so. And I believe next week, our program's going to be with an author who also has his own company, entrepreneur. I got to firm that up before I give out the names. And we have a lot of other things. We have Uncle Sam coming. And the guy who wrote Let's Go, Brandon, is also going to be on the next program, or the program's coming up. You want to be on the program? Give me a call. Drop me a line in my inbox, my Facebook, sometime. And we like to talk about things like this and things that affect people and spread it all over. This program does go worldwide. Well, it depends on how many people are listening, so, but it does reach other countries overseas in the Middle East, in Far East, Philippines, Australia, Canada, of course, parts of South America. It's a beautiful thing to get the message across. So if you want to be part of that, go ahead and look me up and give me a call. This ends this episode. Appreciate everybody being there. See you next week. Thank you. Bye.